much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Everything cool?
No, it's not cool.
Huh. Great. So we're good to go?
Oh, yeah, we're good to go.
Great.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
It's so cute how kids believe in dinosaurs, isn't it?
What do you mean by believe?
Well, you know how they think they're real and everything.
Do you not think they existed?
Well, I've never seen one, have you?
No, but I have seen their bones in the museum.
Oh, please. Just because somebody digs up something that looks like a bone and some scientist plugs it into a computer and calls it whatever doesn't make it true.
I've seen the documentary called Jurassic Park, and it's kind of hard to argue with that.
And now.
Hey, Ma! Can I get some meatloaf?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 6th of February.
Kevin, you're going to hate this, so maybe take off your headphones for 30 seconds because Allie and I need to have some quick girl talk here.
Okay.
Robert Wagner totally killed his wife.
100%.
Right?
Oh, so sketchy.
So they have a big fight, Kevin. She climbs into the dinghy, and he apparently unties it so that she floats away. Bear in mind, she hates the water. And then the captain says, hey, she's missing. We should alert the Coast Guard. He's like, no, no, we don't want to do that.
No, we're good.
Well, we should put a searchlight out so that we can look for her. No, we're fine. Let's go down and drink is what he does instead.
Wow.
An hour and a half goes by before he alerts anyone that his wife is afloat out off Catalina.
And may I interrupt? We don't even know if he put her in a dinghy.
The dinghy was gone. She may have just gone in the water.
She might have been drowned, and then he set the dinghy free afterwards.
Excellent point. Yes.
Yes.
Where did all this information come out?
Well, the captain apparently has had a change of heart. He was parroting Mr. Wagner, his employer's information all these years. And at some point he was like, I'm old and I need to get the truth out there.
Yeah.
And so he's the one who's kind of put it back on the radar after the case was reopened back in 2011. And Robert Wagner refuses to talk to anybody. He is a person of interest. And if he doesn't talk to anyone, I don't know, Allie, can they compel him to? Or is he going to get away with murder?
They talked about there's no statute of limitations for murder. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they have to be able to talk to him at some point. I think they have to. Maybe instead of saying he's a person of interest, they actually have to say
officially charge him
right. For him to talk.
And he's near 80, so he might just wait it out.
Yeah, he's just living in Aspen, digging life.
Exactly.
Murdered someone years ago.
I know.
Allegedly.
I know you don't care, Kevin, because it's news from the 80s, but it is very current now, and it's fascinating story.
I
great 48 Hours.
I watched a little bit of 48 Hours. Yeah.
Did you notice how hot John Malkovich was back then? Mm. Oof, that was my takeaway. Good Lord.
Did not notice
he
that.
He was a babe back in the day.
Okay, well,
I didn't see that coming is
no,
all I
no,
said.
I didn't at all.
But that's the whole thing. Was she flirting with him on the boat? He had
a big
jealous...
Are you talking about Christopher Walken?
Who did I just say?
John Malkovich.
John Malkovich? I was trying to remember him on the show.
Listen, he was in an ad during 48 Hours. That is so weird. I was picturing...
I just assume I was wrong. I was like, I don't think John Malkovich was in the...
Why John Malkovich?
That's odd.
That's hysterical. Yeah, Christopher Walken.
Nah.
Which almost is weirder with
and
how hot he was.
He won't talk either, by the way. His look. I talked about it 30 years ago. I'm not talking about it anymore. If you want to know more, read the book. You know, basically. Not his. Other people who have written about it.
I do want to know what John Malkovich has to say.
Yeah,
sure.
That was not answered in this
special.
Nope, it was not. To get on John Malkovich. Find out if he even knows about it.
What just happened in my brain?
All right. Do we have time for the thing?
Sure.
Give me a little You Be the Judge, would you?
You be the judge right now. You can be the judge right now. You be the judge.
Here comes the judge.
You be the judge right now. Come on now and be the judge.
This is a fascinating story to me. I probably bring you more than your fair share of lottery stories because I am always fascinated with the lottery and the people who win it.
Right.
And this is a legal battle that is going on right now in New Hampshire. A woman last month won $560 million in the Powerball.
Wow.
Whoa.
$560 million in the Powerball.
But after taxes, that's like 30 grand.
Yeah.
30 grand is about right. Yes, Kevin. So she goes down to the lottery office and she presents her ticket and she signs it over and they say, yep, that's legit and you are the winner. So let's go, arrange your press conference and take your photos. And she's like, what? And they're like, yeah, that's part of the, deal. Part of the deal when you buy a Powerball ticket in New Hampshire is we have the right to use your image. We have a right to have a press conference and take photos of you and publicize that you have won. And she says, I don't want any of that. So she did not claim the money. And instead, she has gone to court asking a judge to let her get her lottery winnings but remain anonymous. That's what she wants, is to be anonymous. She's a longtime resident of New Hampshire, says her attorney. She is an engaged community member. She wishes to continue her charity work and also have the freedom to walk into a grocery store or attend public events without being known or targeted as the winner of $500 million. And her attorney pointed out many cases of people who have been robbed and murdered after winning big money. By the way, the downside, the dark side of winning a lottery that you don't hear about very often is people become instant targets when they've got that kind of cash.
Yeah.
From unscrupulous people and just straight up criminals who feel like they can kill them and take their money. So the lottery officials on the other side say, look, there are a lot of reasons why we wrote it this way. One is the integrity of the games depends on us being able to point out to the people who buy tickets every week, somebody really does win. Here's an actual real life person who won. This isn't us just taking your money and then claiming somebody won and never having to prove it. In addition to that, obviously, it's good for business. If you watch the news and you see a woman in your town holding up a giant check,
sure,
who just won $500 million, that makes it more palatable, more reasonable for you to assume that, hey, maybe I can win too. So, what do you think is going to happen on this? I mean, the way the rules are written in New Hampshire right now, that's the contract. It sounds like they could hold her to that and say, if you want the money, you've got to do it. But what do you think going forward? Do they have a reasonable case that you should be allowed to be anonymous when you win the lottery? Or is it fair for the lottery people to say, we have the right to show who you are?
Oh, that's tough.
That's impossible because you don't have to play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you don't like the rules, you don't have to play.
Right. True. But is it an unfair burden on the people who do play for the state to say, we have the right to out you, basically, to put a face on the winning?
Couldn't they just stop just short of that? Couldn't they say, this is the city,
yeah,
this is the store where it was bought, and someone won it?
I mean, that's news that 20 minutes after the drawing. I mean, that already comes out, is what city the ticket was sold in. But they're saying, we need to prove to the public, the other people who may want to buy lottery tickets, that we really are giving this money away. We don't want them to just have to take our word for it.
I get
that. So this is thorny.
It's tough because if I won, I wouldn't want anyone knowing I won.
Certainly not.
From family to anything, because wackadoodles, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
But
especially in your family.
Absolutely. But I see their side, and she knew that going in.
Yeah.
So I don't think she has any recourse here unless... Unless she changes her name.
John Malkovich?
To John Malkovich, maybe. Changes her name, wears a mask during the press conference.
Right.
Changes her name back right after.
Okay.
Gold. I mean, it's going to take a little work, but
wow.
I feel like she's got time.
That's
she's got
a great
half
idea.
A billion.
I think she's lost it unless they just have a change of heart. But I'm just wondering, in the future, is it a reasonable thing for lottery players to ask? The New Hampshire Lottery understands that winning a $560 million Powerball jackpot is a life-changing occurrence, says the executive director of the lottery. Having awarded numerous Powerball jackpots over the years, we also understand the procedures in place for prize claimants are critically important for the security and the integrity of the lottery, our play in our games. While we respect this player's desire to remain anonymous, state statutes and lottery rules clearly dictate protocols.
I think they're going to keep doing it that way.
Absolutely.
So she's sitting at home right now going, I don't have a penny
right.
of my $560 million. She just has to put her name and face on it to get it.
How long does she have to wait?
I don't know. I know you usually have a year to claim a jackpot, but she's already claimed it. She's already showed up at the office and signed the ticket, and they've said yes, you are the winner. So I don't know how long she has to actually start receiving the money, but they won't give it to her until she says, take my picture.
Do you think any part of her is saying, oh, God, now this is national news. Now even more people know who
nice
I
work.
Am. I played this real wrong. Because she did.
The truth is, it's usually only news for a couple of days when you win one of these big jackpots, except, as you say, Allie, for the people that know you.
Right. Yeah, in that town, she's forever the loaded lady. Go hit her up by the avocados.
Yeah, she needs to move to Hawaii or something like that and probably change
her name. Why is she by the avocados?
She loves some guac.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she can afford them now.
Right.
Sure can.
So I think that's an interesting story, and I'll keep you posted if I see what ends up happening, and that is You Be the Judge.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Oh, wow.
Somebody knew that was going to come back. One of the commercials of the Super Bowl.
I know it's only the first week of February, but I believe we have found our favorite soundbite of 2018.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Which commercial was that in?
Pringles.
I got so many tweets immediately after that during the Super Bowl.
That's funny.
We are going to talk to Psycho Mike's wife. Apparently he watches too much murder TV, and she's going to have to put some limits on him.
Wow.
And she's not a limit type person. So Mike must
John
be
Malkovich
bad.
And how involved he was in that Natalie Wood disappearance?
Right.
So we're going to talk to her today. We also have the Bachelor Report today. We have you love food that everybody else seems to hate. And this was started with the grape jelly and meatballs for the Super Bowl, which, by the way, Omar made. It was fantastic.
That everybody loves.
And everybody said that morning that he brought him in, this is great, and it's something I would have again.
Right, exactly.
As a snack food, yeah.
We're going to go through Solo, a Star Wars trailer, and talk about what went on in it. Make sure we get all the details and have people call in and catch us up.
Well, you know the Star Wars geeks. They take it down to the lab and analyze it second by second for stuff that I would never notice.
Right.
If I watched it 100 times in a row. Yeah.
Right. We also have your tickets for Walk the Moon. They are playing the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock. Hmm. And Bruce Campbell in studio talking Ash versus Evil Dead Season 3. That's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Miss Allie McKay.
Mr. Bean Baxter.
What's happening?
Well, Super Bowl ratings are what's happening. They were the lowest in 9 years and down 7% from last year. But that also means that a reported 103 million people watched, which sounds pretty good.
Still pretty good.
Yeah. And by the way, the ratings for NBC's The Voice, which was on after, were way up with 27 million viewers taking that show in. That's the best post-Super Bowl rating in 6 years. So, were people just waiting for the game to be over to watch The Voice?
Sure.
Like, let's just switch on over to that.
Come on, Voice.
Yeah.
How was This Is Us? Was it satisfying?
It was. They were, you know, touting it as the saddest ever and prepare yourself. I thought the show before was even sadder.
Really?
The week before, yeah.
I was wondering how they were going to pull this off because they have, for folks who don't know, This Is Us is a show that has lots of flashbacks, and you've seen kind of everything but how Jack, the patriarch of the family, dies. You've seen leading up to and after, and they were finally filling in the missing piece of the puzzle on that post-Super Bowl episode, and I was wondering if it could live up to expectations based on all the stuff you'd already seen.
It was still wonderful, and there was a little twist at the end that you're like, oh, that's lovely.
Is it his hand coming up out of the grave at the very end?
Right? And he grabs Mandy Moore's ankle and pulls her down. It's no one saw it coming. No, not at all. But I will say this: Mandy Moore is a triumph on the show. She's magic. She's fabulous. I never knew this side of Mandy Moore. She's wonderful.
Yeah, she's a great actress. I feel like I made the right decision getting off the This Is Us train earlier this year because every episode was so sad. And I just, look, I already have this job. I don't need more sadness in my life.
Right, right. You feel so much in the morning.
That's what it
right?
is.
That you want to just live your life the rest of the day.
It didn't have a lot of bright spots.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's lovely. And the hand.
Right.
And the hand. Yeah.
All the mulch on it. And he's like, meh. did you see the story about the Eagles and John Dornbos?
Yes, it's my favorite post-Super Bowl story.
I don't know who that is.
So lovely. He was the long snapper on the Eagles. Mm-hmm. He played 11 seasons with him and then was traded to, I believe, New Orleans, right, Bean?
That is correct, yes.
Had a physical, and they realized, oh, you got something real wrong with your heart area. You need surgery immediately. Had he not been traded and had that physical, and had he played, he's like, I probably would have died.
Wow.
Really bad situation. His career's over. He was done after all of that. Well, not only was he invited to the Super Bowl as a, you know, special guest of the team, they are giving him a Super Bowl ring.
Really?
Which is just, why are you making me think you're okay, people? Eagles.
Wow. So classy.
Yes, 100%.
Not with the team, but still giving him the ring. I love that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Jeffrey Lurie, if you could maybe talk to Robert Kraft about how being a decent human is sometimes a nice thing, that would be lovely. But I saw that yesterday and thought that's what sports should be about. Things like this happening.
Agreed.
More of this.
Do I have to remind you that Robert Kraft last year also gave a Super Bowl ring to somebody who wasn't on the team, Allie?
I don't want to talk about it, nor do I want to talk about how a previous ring was taken by Putin.
Right.
So it's almost like a real weird situation with Robert Kraft and who he hangs with.
Putin gets one and Trump gets one.
Yeah,
interesting.
That is horrible. Coming up, who on the Patriots was robbed as they were playing a game on Sunday? Unbelievable. But kind of smart, right? You know where he is.
You know where he is, right?
Some birthdays for you. Singer Rick Astley. Actor. Oh. You okay?
I just love him so much.
Do you want to hear a little Rick? Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you. I mean, I never get tired of that song. He looks exactly the same.
Exactly. He's 51. Is that what he is today?
It's bizarre. Yeah. I don't even know how
looks
old
like
he is.
Looks like a teenager.
He looks exactly the same. We need to look into that.
Right? There's something wrong
here. Yeah, something's very wrong.
Yeah.
And singer Axl Rose does not look the same. And that's what's happening.
Bruce Campbell's coming in later on today, you guys.
Right?
Is he the coolest? Is he a guy who started out cool, and then every year that goes by, he gets even cooler?
Yes. Yeah.
Not less cool, more cool every year he goes by.
That's correct, yes.
And by the way, while we're talking about deals with the devil, Allie, how does Bruce Campbell look so good?
He really does.
Dude's got to be 150, right? Look at him.
I don't think he's
150.
He looks amazing.
But he does look great.
And just going through life with a chainsaw as a hand, I mean, you think that that would be a negative on him, but he seems to embrace it, enjoy it, and still able to do everything that we can do?
I don't know. I'm just impressed. That's all I'm saying. There was a story that came out yesterday that, I'm not going to lie, surprised me. I wasn't aware. Allie, I guess I should be asking you, do ladies prefer not to crunch Doritos in public? Because according to this article, it sounds like they that's how they feel.
This is the most insane thing I've ever heard in my life.
No, they don't like to, or no, this is a ridiculous story?
No, this is ridiculous.
Okay.
Yeah, but according to PepsiCo, they claim research has found that women don't like to, you know, make that crunch with Doritos. They don't like to lick their fingers. Like when we look at a guy that's able to put that bag of Doritos over their face and just get those last little morsels and crumbs, we long to be him because we can't do that because we're ladies. And plus our little lady hands, it's hard to even get our hands around the big bag, and then we can't figure out with our little lady brains how to do it without it spilling everywhere. And then the crunch, we don't want to upset anyone. Oh no, am I being too loud? I'm a lady. I'm not allowed to be.
But what about licking the fingers?
Oh, I'll lick my fingers all damn day.
Right?
What?
I didn't realize that ladies were having so much problems eating Doritos.
I would like to see their research, to be honest.
Well, they're now talking about male and female packages of snack chips. They're talking about specifically making a new Doritos bag and chip for women, designed and packaged differently. Now, I can't imagine what they could do. I mean, look. Doritos are great the way they are.
Right.
Nothing wrong with the bag, nothing wrong with the chip. Everybody should just enjoy them, right?
Right, yeah. But they're going to try to figure out a way to make them not crunch as much.
I mean, I guess so.
So we wanted to find out about this and if this is a trend, a greater trend going on right now. So Omni Research Corporation apparently did this study for Pepsi, and James Niblick is the director of marketing there, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Good morning, Mr. Niblick.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
But we're fine. We're a little. Allie was just saying she'd love to see this research. Can you give us any of the details on what you provided to Pepsi that led them to the conclusion that women have trouble eating Doritos?
Sure. I know it seems a bit unreasonable that there would be chips designed just for women as opposed to men, but we've done that research and we've seen, I mean, hashtag me too, time's up. We're doing that. We're devoted to gearing our products for all the different companies that we do consulting and research for. Mm-hmm. We're really focusing on the enjoyment and not neglecting women in the marketplace anymore. And we found that women really don't like to get that greasy, nasty chip residue all over their fingers, and they're less prone to crunching those chips out loud, especially, you know, in public. Maybe back at home they can savor that, but out in public, that's just silly.
Many women are suggesting that this is just you reinforcing tired gender stereotypes. The men and women don't have as many differences between them as you would think, especially when it just comes to something that's an every person deal like eating.
I think that that's a bit naive for you to say that. I've done the research.
You have, okay.
I encourage you not to be glib. I can see that many products do far better amongst women. That demographic will buy a 70% market share of a certain product sometimes, and men will be left with just a pittance of that product. So why not gear this product towards women? And by the way, a lot of products that are geared towards men with the advertising, with the marketing, you know, you see the women in the bikinis and these things.
Right.
These are clearly geared towards men, but we're leaving out a huge, huge market share by not including women and maybe even designing products specifically for them. We're working on a lot of different products right now. One of the things we're most excited about, if I could share it with you,
please,
is a form of birth control. I know that sounds a little bit extreme, but a lot of women are reluctant to use birth control because oftentimes it'll make them gain weight. So we've designed girth control, which is birth control that also has a little bit of methamphetamine mixed in. So not only are you going to get rid of that unwanted little addition, you're also going to lose some weight. Hit it, Steve. Girth control. It's girth control. You got no baby in your belly, no pupils in your eyes, and you prevent unwanted surprise.
I mean, it's catchy. I'll give you that.
Thanks a lot, Allie.
Oh, dear.
I know you as a little lady can appreciate that. Am I right?
No.
You know, a lot of times ladies don't like to admit that they do number two. And if they're going to be in public and they're going to wreck a bathroom, that's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
They oftentimes will just hold it until they can get home, causing unwanted stomach discomfort.
I see.
Mountain Dew has created Diet Mountain Dew Masquerade, which is actually a Diet Mountain Dew delicious beverage, mm-hmm. which is also doubling as an aerosol can of some nice potpourri. So in case you have to wreck that bathroom, you're safe. Hit it, Steve. Mountain Dew Masquerade. Mountain Dew Masquerade. It's refreshing beverage that will also mask you dropping a deuce.
I mean, you do it all over there.
We really are a multi-purpose research and development company.
Okay.
Finally, we've developed something that we're very excited about. I'm reluctant to share this because we're not necessarily there yet, but mm-hmm. Pepperidge Farm has come to us to develop something new and revolutionary.
Okay.
And we've come up with Kiefer Sutherland's.
Okay.
Okay. You know what? We look at the time. We got to go. Thank you for talking.
wait for the jingle. You deserve a moment to yourself to enjoy a delicious macaroon cookie, the Kiefer Sutherland.
Nope.
No.
It'll help you silence your queef.
Come on.
What's wrong with you?
Who wants to have that happen in public? That type of unnatural act, you know, every woman would be embarrassed by it.
Right.
And right now they can just carry a couple macaroons in their purse, and next thing you know, muffled.
Okay.
Muffled.
Okay. Right. 1 minute too late.
Gotta go.
Somebody pointed out on there it is. Somebody pointed out on Twitter over the weekend when the Solo movie trailer came out that it seems like there's a new Star Wars movie about every 30 days now. There are a lot of them. They are frequent, but they're all big hits, and people seem to enjoy them. Now, there have been some questions, maybe some problems about this new Han Solo film that's coming out Memorial Day weekend. This was the one, you'll recall, that Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, the original directors, left about how far? About two-thirds through making the movie?
Yeah. And I wouldn't say left as much as they were removed.
Is that ideal?
That's not a great sign for
a film. But then on the upside, we could barely be concerned about that because when we heard that Ron Howard had gotten the call,
right,
you're like, well, all's well in Opie's hands, right? I mean, who's better than Ron Howard, right? And then there were some questions when early reports came out that this young actor who is playing the young Han Solo had requested additional acting lessons while making the movie.
Before or after this trailer?
I think Kevin's got some thoughts on the Solo trailer. So let's go through a little bit of the trailer, the things we know and the things we don't know. This is the origin story of Han Solo, who ends up being played by Harrison Ford, of course. And we especially need your help, as we always do when these trailers come out, from the Star Wars geeks. You know who you are. You have dissected this trailer frame by frame, and you've seen so much more than we could possibly glean from watching it. Please call us right now and help us understand what it is we're looking at 1-800-520-1067.
There's an article called Breaking Down All the Hidden Clues from the New Solo, A Star Wars Story trailer. And that's Yeah, that's the kind of thing that we sort of just miss.
Mm-hmm.
It just hits us in general, and we go, oh, it looks good or not, but there seems to be little clues.
I haven't
memorized everything in the Star Wars universe.
Right.
Now, Ali, you're a resident Star Wars expert on the show. What are your initial feelings when you see the trailer? Are you feeling good things or bad things?
Wow, that was a minute and a half.
That's what you're feeling?
Yeah.
Mm.
I didn't get the feeling from this trailer that I have from every other trailer, whether it was Force Awakens, even Rogue One. I just got this, like, swelling, that sense of Star Wars,
right,
that you get.
Mm-hmm.
Even with Rogue One, which was a standalone, I still got that.
Even though they were all new characters,
yes.
It's not like you're getting the warm fuzzies from seeing Princess Leia again.
Exactly. I got nothing from this.
Really?
Is
that because there's so many unknown faces?
Yeah, but mostly the lead guy, Han Solo. There was just no charm from him. It just seemed very cold. Even when he did the, you know, the Han Solo grin, I was like, work on that.
Now, his name is Alden...
Ehrenreich.
Ehrenreich, yes. Mm-hmm. And what do we know him from?
Being dull.
Kevin is already determined. This is not his Han Solo. What's he famous for?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Listen, I wanted the kid from Kingsman. That's just me.
He would have been
great,
too.
He was in Hail Caesar, Beautiful Creatures.
Oh, I saw him in Hail Caesar.
Yeah,
okay.
He was apparently great.
You're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
He was very good in that.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So, Kevin, you're agreeing with Ali, then you don't think there's any charisma emanating off
it. Just feels like he's not carrying anything.
Yeah.
But if you're...
And he sort of needs to.
If you're... I don't know how old he's playing in this, but what, 20 or something,
yeah,
probably, right? How much swagger do you need if you're a 20-year-old Han Solo?
Are you Han Solo?
Yeah,
but don't you grow into that, though?
No,
I'm saying you don't have that as a kid, do you?
I mean, as a 20-year-old, you probably are too cocky.
Yeah.
Right. Let's talk to Rob, if we could, please. He's in Tustin. He's on line one. Hey, Rob.
What's up, you guys?
What do we know about the Solo movie?
Well, again, this trailer was a long time coming. There's a lot of us were waiting around forever. We were getting disinterested in it. But basically, yeah, like you said, it takes place when he's in his early 20s, just starting out as getting into the smuggling business. He gets recruited by the Empire, which they're taking the story right out of the graphic novels back in the 90s.
Okay.
If you go back through the history of them. But yeah, basically, he gets a job getting into the business with the Empire, and then he ends up turning.
What's your thought on the actor who is playing Han Solo? Do you like him or not like him, just based on what you've seen in the trailer?
I'm excited. I think the general consensus of most Star Wars fans are excited.
All right.
I think. But, yeah.
I'm happy to hear that. Now, I heard that I certainly have never read the novels that came out, but I hear that they are scrapping a lot of that story about, wasn't there a deal where he was like raised by Wookiees on an island somewhere? And now that's not a thing anymore, right?
I don't think that was a thing, but I think what they are getting is that back in the novel line, he was an Imperial officer and they were wiping out part of the Wookiee planet, Kashyyyk, and he ends up saving a group of them, and one of them is Chewbacca, and he owes a life debt to Han Solo. That's why he's with him.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. I mean, that's going to be an emotional moment when if we get to see Han Solo meet Chewbacca, right?
Oh,
I mean,
you
that's
have
something,
to.
Yeah, that's something we're all excited about. And Chewbacca with his shiny eyes and his soft fur, I mean, he's got to look like such a little puppy.
What's happening?
Well, no, I'm just saying because...
I think he's just about his that grown height at a very young age. So, yeah, they grow very rapidly.
Oh, I thought we were going to see like a little baby Wookiee.
Nope, you are seeing Chewbacca in full form. What are you watching?
What's happening, Bean?
He's watching the Christmas special with the Wookiee babies.
I'm not watching anything. Okay. Not everything in the trailer is everything in the movie. I thought maybe there's a point in the movie where we see a much younger Chewbacca also. That's all I was suggesting. So, all right.
I think you catch up with him at the same period as Solo, and I think that's probably all we really need to get.
All right, Rob, you are awesome. We thank you for listening. We thank you for calling, sir.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Okay. All right, Kevin, you got some audio from this trailer?
I do, yes. Tell me when you want to stop.
All right.
I've been running scams on the street since I was 10.
I've been running scams on the street since I was 10.
By the way,
I
don't think that voice is too dissimilar from Harrison Ford's voice. It sounds like he kind of has the voice and the accent down, I think.
Okay.
Yes.
Kicked out of the flight academy.
I was kicked out of the flight academy.
Kevin!
Mind of my own. I'm gonna be a pilot.
Oh my god.
Best in the galaxy.
Best in the galaxy. You watch
By the way,
me, I'll do it.
Now that I just hear the voice, he is a little I Am Sam. Right?
Hey, kid. I'm putting together a crew. You in?
That's yes.
And that the guy who's putting together the crew, that's the Imperial guy, right? That's Woody Harrelson with a bad haircut.
Woody Harrelson.
That's okay. The Imperial guy.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk to Matt real quick, because I think we're about the point in the trailer where, Allie, you must have gasped when you saw young Lando Calrissian standing there in his big coat, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was awesome.
I mean, he looked good.
Hey, Matt. Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Star Wars thoughts.
Good, yeah. Star Wars thoughts. Absolutely excited for it, despite what you might think about Han Solo. But I am super excited for Donald Glover.
Same.
100%.
Can't wait. Wearing that fur.
You can do no wrong right now.
I agree.
And you know what? I mean, great. I mean, we said it when it was announced. Fantastic casting. He really does look like
a
young Billy D. Williams because he's got that billion-dollar smile and that little bit, that twinkle in his eye. I mean, great casting. I can't wait to see what they do with him.
And Woody Harrelson is in it, too. So,
sure.
You know, I think it'll be a great cast. And then with Ron Howard behind it, I'm super excited.
Not worried at all. All right.
All right. No fear. Okay. Very good. Thank you so much, Matt. Let's hear a little bit more.
I might be the only person. Who knows? What you really are.
That's ominous.
What's that?
Get ready.
Thought we were in trouble there for a second, but it's fine. We're fine.
Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What about your Fleabag lady?
Is she even in the trailer?
She is playing that that robot that's flying in the Millennium Falcon with it.
Oh, no. Really?
She's playing a robot, yeah.
Oh, man. What a waste.
You were hoping you'd actually get to see her pretty face in the movie.
I love her so much. But I will say, when you see a quick shot of Lando with a robot as the passenger, she must be that robot.
So that's what she is, yeah.
You see him behind the wheel of the Millennium Falcon, and I was like, wait, what? Oh, it was his. like you start remembering all the stuff that you're like, And you've seen the Millennium Falcon in the trailer before it gets, you know, jacked up.
Right.
Yeah.
Having said all of that criticism, it seems like it's going to be great.
I can't wait. Let's be honest.
Wait. Right.
Look, we're going, all right?
100%.
Right. We're going. We are going. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 7.
Petros Papadakis joins us next hour here on K-Rock like we do every Tuesday mornings to break down last night's Bachelor. That that girl who got all indignant and started pushing back at the bully last week. I loved her, Kevin.
Yeah.
Is the girl fight continuing this week?
Yes, it does. All right. It's pretty sweet.
I can't wait.
Pretty all right. sweet.
It is 6:55. Allie's here. What's happening?
You guys seen the trailer for Annihilation?
Yes. Yes.
So it's in theaters February 23rd. This movie, first of all, it's sci-fi. It's
call now. 1-800-520-1067.
No.
I love you.
I love you, too. It's a sci-fi action horror film. And if you watch that alone in your home, you will jump not once, not twice, but three times during the trailer alone.
Love it.
If you haven't seen it, it's this group of soldiers. They enter this environmental disaster zone. Only one comes back alive, and that's Oscar Isaacs. But he's super, super janky, totally hurt. So his wife, Natalie Portman's like, oh no, let me help you. I will figure out what happened. So she goes on an expedition back into this whacked out zone with Jennifer Jason Leigh, Gina Rodriguez, Tessa Thompson, Tuva Novotny, and they're like, oh, we'll find out what happened to him, we'll figure it out, and we'll help all of humanity, because we're awesome chicks. Then they get there, and they're like, super pretty here, I don't understand what happened. Rah! Things are like coming at them, it's like a beautiful setting, but whacked out things start happening.
Did I just walk into Allie's one-woman show?
Yes, you did.
Telling you.
Are you recreating the entire movie on stage right now?
This movie looks incredible. Comes out February 23rd, but I want to send you right now to go see the premiere of Annihilation at the Village Theater on February 13th. Five winners are going to get a pair of passes. So call now.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
We'll take the first five callers at 1-800-520-1067. See Annihilation.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
But when the thing's over her shoulder and it's like, and she's like, I feel it.
They were like death.
Yes. Yes, very similar. SNL is going to be on hold for a bit because of the Winter Olympics, but we already know who the first guest host will be back when it comes back on Saturday, March the 3rd. It will be his fourth time hosting the show.
Senor Grande?
No. Very close, though.
Fourth time.
And I'm not going to lie.
Turd Ferguson.
Not Turd Ferguson. He is great. I don't remember any of the times he hosted.
Is that right?
So,
ladies and gentlemen, the original boy wonder, Burt Ward, of course.
No.
The Louisiana Creeper.
No, but he would be great.
What about an emotional support squirrel?
It's a good choice.
I think I'd remember that. No, like I said, fourth time hosting.
Bobo.
Bobo. No, but some might call him Bobo.
No, you're not crazy. It's Gnarls Barkley.
You are very close.
Am I?
You are very,
very CeeLo Green?
Close. Nope. Oh. But you said Gnarls Barkley.
Charles Barkley.
It is Charles Barkley.
Oh, there you go.
It is
Yes, he has hosted it before, and he's always very funny.
All right. Well, yes, his fourth time now, and musical guest, Migos. So
oh,
that'll be great.
Good booking. Yeah.
Absolutely. Not sure if you heard this yesterday. John Mahoney has passed away at the age of 77. If you don't know who he is, most people know him as the dad from Frasier. He was kind of the grumpy guy, always sat on his recliner with the dog in his lap.
Right.
But also, if you saw Say Anything, he was the dad of Ione Skye, who John Cusack wanted to date, who had some of the greatest acting scenes ever in movies in that one movie. He was phenomenal. When his credit card gets declined, I'm just saying, look it up. It is phenomenal. So good. And in Moonstruck, I mean, this guy, oh, he was wonderful.
And a very cut of stage actor, won a Tony or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And by all accounts, a great dude.
He began...
An astronaut?
He was not an astronaut, but he began at Chicago's Steppenwolf Theater because a man named John Malkovich told him to. And I swear to God, I read that and I was
positive?
Like, well, now it all makes sense why I've got John Malkovich on the brain. But very sad. John Mahoney
Bruce Campbell, who's coming later on today, worked with John Mahoney on a number of projects, by the
way. Oh. Well, by all accounts, everybody that tweeted anything said you couldn't find a kinder man in Hollywood.
That's nice to hear.
Made everyone around him better. So that was lovely to read. So, passed away at the age of 77 from a bout with cancer, which
but he outlived that little dog Eddie from the Frasier show.
Right, so burn.
That's not really a sick burn bean.
I'm saying it's good. I'm saying it's good. He lasted longer. That's all.
Than a dog?
Yes. That's a bean saying, yeah.
How long are dogs living in your world?
Look, I'm just saying
that he survived. He outlasted the dog on the TV is what you're saying.
He survived Eddie by a number of years, and I'm happy for him for that at least.
Happy birthday, Rick Astley. Happy birthday, Axl Rose. And that's what's happening.
1 hour from right now, we've got Bruce Campbell in studio talking Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 3.
That is one of the strangest shows in the history of television.
And great.
It's so funny,
yes.
Yet so bloody.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of blood.
So much blood.
And great.
Limbs just everywhere.
Great.
All right, we got to deal with this banana and mayonnaise sandwich situation.
Oh.
This came out of last week when DJ Omar Khan, Chef DJ Omar Khan, made us Odell Beckham Jr.'s recipe for jelly meatballs as a Super Bowl treat.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us in this room had ever heard of the grape jelly and barbecue sauce and meatballs combination before.
Our initial response was, that sounds terrible.
Well, I couldn't picture jelly and barbecue sauce together as a sauce. I just couldn't picture it.
Same.
And Allie, I think you were snickering a little bit about it. And then you got served online from lots of listeners, right?
Oh, people sending in their own recipes. Oh, you got to add chilies to it. Yeah, people were like, how have none of you had this?
And I would be, look, I don't have the answer to that. I wonder if that is a certain pocket of the country, maybe, because there are a lot of meals that they only have in New England, and there are a lot of meals that they only have in the South. There are a lot of West Coast cuisine, so maybe it depends a lot on where you grew up. And as a result of that conversation, I brought up that I, my entire life, from as far back as I can remember as a little kid, have had and enjoyed banana and mayonnaise sandwiches. Now, I also love banana and peanut butter sandwiches too. By the way,
that's wonderful. I accept that.
But
mayonnaise sandwiches. From the time I was, you guys are saying as if you've never had one.
I've never had my arm cut off either, but I know I'd hate it.
Right. But
these
are two great tastes that taste great together. So I brought up the banana mayonnaise sandwiches, and you hear the reaction from the room. And we thought it might be an interesting topic to hear a food that you love that you found out at some point and were surprised to find out that not everybody loves or not everybody even knows about. It's just something that you assumed everybody was into because you were into it, and then you found out the truth.
So you ate the mayonnaise and bananas since the time before you can remember. You always ate it.
Grew up with it. My whole family ate them, yeah.
Huh.
So I did a little bit of research, and apparently this was a controversy online. In 2016, Dale Earnhardt Jr. tweeted about banana and mayonnaise being one of his favorite sandwiches. And the internet just rained down on him. And GQ magazine put up a poll, and overwhelmingly, people said they would never in a million years eat them. By the way,
right?
These are people who have never tried them. These are people who are just in their mind, they've decided they're bad, even though they're delicious.
Sounds terrible
and, never
and
tried
bad.
It. So, GQ did a little investigation. It was apparently a banana mayonnaise sandwich is a southern delicacy with a storied history.
Huh.
And maybe that's where it came from in my family because my dad's a good old country boy from North Carolina. So maybe he grew up and maybe his parents fed him and their parents before them fed him.
Because they didn't know any better.
He's from North Carolina too, right?
Who is?
Dale Earnhardt?
Is he now? Maybe
I believe
so.
He is.
He is the founder of ISIS.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's accurate.
Oh, okay.
In 2014, Nationals bullpen coach Matthew LaCroix even credited banana and mayonnaise sandwiches with the team's 10-game winning streak.
Yeah, that's dumb.
You ought to try it, is what I'm saying.
I'm saying no.
The GQ reporter answered this question, would I eat it again? He tried one for the magazine. He said, not if you paid me. I would have happily licked a Subway seat if it meant getting the taste of the bananas and mayonnaise out of my mouth. So on a scale of 1 to 10, he gave it a negative 100. So it doesn't sound like it was his favorite. But I'm telling you, I had one this morning, and it was delicious. It's an anytime food.
Maybe I'm just not a huge mayonnaise fan.
Same. Mm-hmm.
So
but
maybe
on the right thing, I'm fine with it. If you know,
like
if
a little on a sandwich with some lettuce and turkey, fine.
Fine.
But
just with bananas, it just seems like it's mush plus mush.
Do you guys have
any
food equivalent to my banana mayonnaise sandwich? Something that you have always enjoyed that you found out that not everybody knows about or is into?
I will say, if I'm going to have like a shake from a place,
right?
Because I know I'm going home
quickly.
I have some issues. I'll dip a fry right in that bad boy, and nothing tastes better in the
world.
Oh,
I think a lot of people do that. Okay. I think that's pretty common. I think fries and milkshakes are pretty common.
Yeah, I'm
that's
totally
a sweet
normally,
and salty
guys.
Combination.
I'm
yeah.
telling you.
You were afraid right up until that point.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to make fun of you.
How about you, Kevin?
I don't really have anything yeah. that I can think of. I just eat chocolate all the time, and everyone
yes.
likes chocolate.
Yes, you
so.
Do.
You do.
All right, let's take some calls. What's the food that you love that not everybody gets? Let's try Andrew, line three, please. He's in Torrance. He's up first here on the Kevin Bean Show for this segment.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, guys.
What food do you eat that people don't seem to get?
Love peanut butter and bacon sandwiches.
Peanut butter and bacon?
I don't hate it.
Peanut butter and bacon?
Yeah.
Yeah, bacon. I mean, peanut butter's great. Bacon uh-huh. makes everything great.
Yeah.
right. Now, let
Plus
me ask you.
Some of my friends just think I lose my mind every time I make one, or I offer to make one. Yeah. They just won't stand for it.
Now, they're both a little savory, though, so I can see how they'd taste good together.
You get the peanut butter kind of melty with the bacon because it's nice and warm, and it's perfect.
Okay. Andrew, did you invent this sandwich, or is this something you grew up eating?
No, I think I someone else made one for me, like maybe when I was in high school, and okay. I just loved it because perfect.
Does not sound terrible.
Fair enough. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Lindsay, please. Line five. Lindsay is in Redondo Beach. Hey, Lindsay.
Hey guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have the perfect combination. You're gonna love it. I promise.
Okay.
All right. Can't wait.
It was an afternoon snack every day coming home from school. It was Fritos and cottage cheese, but you can't. Yeah.
Hear her out.
You can't get the small Fritos.
I can't hear you. The buzzer is going off.
You can't get the small Fritos. They've got to be the
scoop. Oh, it has to be the scoop Fritos.
Yeah.
Sure, that makes all the difference.
It's 2%.
Now, do you have any idea how you put those two together? Was this just that's all that was in the house?
No, it's the perfect combination of like salty and just okay. Try it, I promise you.
All right. Apparently, Kevin is not having any of it.
All right. Thank you for the call. Right, I'm sorry, Lindsay. Thank you for calling.
I feel like Lindsay just had a super high babysitter once that put that together, and then Lindsay's like, this is great.
Let's do one more before the break. Let's do line eight. This is going to be Keith. He is in Corona. I can honestly say, and I thought I was pretty up to speed on what you can put on a pizza. I can honestly say I did not see this one coming. Hi, Keith. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, not only do I like mustard on my pizza, but I like it with chicken and pineapple.
Wait, let's back up. Did you say mustard on your pizza?
Yeah, mustard. Ketchup and mustard,
And how did that start? Because that's not a type of item you could order from a pizza place.
Two people walking down the street. One guy had a pizza, the other guy had mustard.
Stupid.
A guy had it once, and I said, I'll try it, and now I don't eat pizza without it.
So. Mustard on
pizza. And that's not mustard in the place of tomato sauce. That's in addition to?
No, yeah. You just get yellow mustard and just like you're putting it on a hot dog, you just put it all over the top.
That sounds terrible. But I don't like mustard,
really,
so I can't really play that game. Because mustard's bad on everything.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Right,
but,
I know.
But so I feel like he also said pineapple in there and we let it go.
He did throw that in because I was focusing on mustard at first, but...
All right, Keith, that's a weird combination.
No.
You do you, man. All right, guys, some of these calls.
We need to take a break, though.
I know we do. I'm just saying. I'm just looking at them. I'm just trying to evaluate how people are going to listen to this and enjoy their breakfast boat. I don't know how they're going to do both at the same time, but we'll try. 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
All right, just ahead of Rage Against the Machine, we're talking about food that you love that other people don't seem to love quite as much as you do. And let's start with Fred. Hi, Fred.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
It's not even that people don't love it. It's just that people have never even heard of it, and then when they do, they recoil in horror. That's what we're learning here today. What's your item, Fred?
We put mayo and refried beans or pinto beans.
Mayo and pinto beans or refried beans?
Yeah, just a scoop of mayo, mix it in, and eat it up.
So let me just see if I understand. You mix it in, then you eat it up?
Yep.
Okay.
Now, Kevin, you say you're not a mayonnaise guy.
No, I don't like
mayonnaise. Except
in
very limited options.
Right.
Can you picture it with rice and beans?
Yeah, sort of.
Sort of? All right. So it sounds like Kevin will allow it, Fred.
Sort of?
Another thing that we tried, too, is mustard inside your Mexican rice.
Nope.
Thanks mustard. For calling. Alex writes in, "Dear Kevin and Bean, I used to always eat mac and cheese with ketchup, and I thought that was a thing." It sounds like maybe somebody schooled him on that.
That is a thing.
Here's another one. Damon says, "I grew up thinking everyone ate fried rice with an egg over medium on top for breakfast." That's not awful.
That's
right?
A thing, sure.
That one's okay. All right, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls on odd foods next on K-1.
You people are eating some nasty stuff. I'll tell you that right now.
Has anything that anyone has suggested that is on their list of foods that other people don't know about or don't eat made you want to try it?
Yes.
Peanut butter bacon.
Yes.
Didn't sound bad.
Allie, what'd you get?
I got from Mark Villa, original Doritos and Reese's peanut butter cups. You will see the universe as a whole.
Oh. And Doritos and peanut butter cups sound like two completely different kinds of snacks.
He puts them together.
Two great tastes.
I feel like I might need to try that.
I might also.
All right.
Karen says, my sister and I like to dip chocolate chip cookies in...
Milk.
Ready?
Milk.
Orange juice.
Orange juice. Get off my phone.
Weird combination, but still delicious, says Karen.
No, Karen, no. Stop it.
Here is Mike, who's streaming the show from Seattle this morning. Here's my combination. I take a bite from a Slim Jim and then a bite from an Abba Zabba. The salt and sweet combination is glorious.
Nope.
Plus, who needs clean arteries and stable blood sugar? All right, let's take some more calls. 1-800-520-1067. We'll do this real fast because then we want to get and have plenty of time for Petros and the Bachelor Report coming up on K-Rock. Harold is in Northridge, though. He's got something to add.
Hey, Harold.
Morning.
What's the food you eat that people can't understand?
Butter and sweet pickles on Wonder Bread. Delicious.
Butter and sweet pickles on Wonder Bread.
It's delicious. You got to try that.
And do you still see Honey Boo Boo and the rest of your family?
That's very funny.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
Harold's going to kill you.
All right. I need some Jennifer, please. Some line two Jennifer. She is in Orange. What the hell is going on at Jennifer's house?
Hey, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Good morning. You eat what?
Okay. So a couple of things. I put soy sauce on my popcorn and it is delicious.
Soy sauce on your popcorn?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit, though. Don't drench it.
Sure. You don't want to go crazy.
Yeah. And then I make sandwiches, mayonnaise, cheddar cheese, and serrano chilies, and it is amazing.
A lot of mayo happening.
A lot of mayo. What's wrong with you people in your mayo?
Yeah.
And do you remember?
And Doritos, you take cream cheese, dip the cream cheese with the Doritos. That's really good, too.
Huh. Wow. You're just a fountain of bad.
You really are. What do you weigh, Jennifer?
Come on, Bean.
No, I'm just asking.
You don't think I insulted her enough with fountain of bad?
I'm just listening
I'm
to
not
this.
Overweight.
She's
I'm
not overweight.
Because you do so much vomiting, right?
Okay.
Oh, Bean, get off my phone.
Thank
Bean.
You, Jennifer.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank
Bye
you.
Now.
Oof.
And see, just after 8 this morning, we hail to the chin here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The return of one of our favorite guests, one of our favorite actors, Bruce Campbell. What? What are you laughing at?
I mean,
hail to the chin.
That's the name of his book.
Right.
So. That's what he calls. That's his name.
Right.
Okay. Got the chin.
Right.
Bruce Campbell coming up after 8 on K-Rock. First, though, the P is on the phone. Time for the Bachelor Report. Hit it, Steve.
It's time. We got the peeps. Can't stand a man. So we watch. So you don't have to, man. Girls drinking, hallelujah. Girls crying, hallelujah. Girls crazy, hallelujah. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
Petros Papadakis is the co-host of the P&M Show, Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports, weekday afternoons. How are you, P?
I'm good. I thought hail to the chin was, I thought you guys were going to have Pete Carroll on.
Different guy with a big chin, but yeah, I see that. I take your note. So Petros, I don't watch the show, that's you and Kevin's job, but I understand the girls were in Paris last night, which must make it just so difficult to not just fall in love left and right when you're walking around the City of Light, right?
Here's how they stopped him from falling in love. They put him on a boat in the middle of the river.
They did, that's true.
They had to sleep on the boat, and, you know, with Javert's body floating around. How about that literary reference?
You know,
and it kept them from falling in love, as you say, left and right, because as they say, every street in Paris is its own story.
Right.
Ooh, nice.
You know how the whole season's been about Crystal? She's the bad one. She's the one that annoys everybody, talks down to everybody. She's entitled. She's of course she's going to end up with Ari at the end of the show.
Sure.
It's absurd to consider anything else.
She pretends to know the minds and hearts and desires of the other women as if she's some kind of mind reader, like who's ready for love, who isn't, who wants to get married, who really doesn't, which is interesting because it doesn't seem like she really talks to anybody about anything but herself.
So she's part of a two-on-one date that's going to happen a little bit later, but she finds out that Lauren B., who I believe is the last Lauren... Is that right, Pete?
Yeah, Lauren B., the last Lauren, the other one talked herself out of the this one is silent. The other one talked herself off the show. This one might not stay on the show because she doesn't speak at all, almost like a mime. And she is in Paris, the home of Marcel Marceau, the greatest mime of all time. How about these references, guys?
Amazing. Why do they call her Lauren B., though, if she can no longer be confused with other Laurens that used to be on the show?
You know, I thought about that. And then I remembered that, you know, most of the end of the season is bringing these people back, you know,
okay.
After the final rose, the women tell all that crap. So we're going to get both Laurens back in the room together. So we still need to separate.
So Crystal is confident of her two-on-one date, but she's laughing at Lauren's one-on-one because Lauren, she doesn't talk and there's no possible way that's going to go well.
Like, personally, like, I've been preparing for this, so I've been ready for this. Yeah. Jacqueline, that means you're getting a one-on-one. You're supposed to be stoked.
I definitely don't know how to feel right now.
I know, it sucks.
I mean, like, it is what it is.
She was shaking. She was so nervous. How boring are the other relationships compared to my memories? I mean, really. Maybe I'm wife material. Yes. Fun wife material.
How boring are their relationships? I mean, I'm wife material, fun wife material.
She's talking just to the camera at that point?
Yes.
Yikes.
But she also says that to the other girls as well.
Oh, yeah. Good Lord.
She talks to the other girls like that all the time. Am I right, P?
Yes, she's fun wife. The other girls don't know what they want. They're too young. They're too stupid. But she is a fun wife. Now, I am married, and I'm not going to say my wife is not fun. But that's not the first thing I think of when we're changing diapers and doing things of that nature.
But you
I thought she was fun wife material before we got married.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
But life takes the fun out of the wife.
Oh, jeez.
Very deep. That's what we're going to carve on your eventual statue on the USC campus, Pete.
Right next to the Al Cowlings dorm.
Right.
All right.
That's
so,
a real place, by the way.
The Al Cowlings dorm, is there?
There's an Al Cowlings dorm.
That's pretty strong. All right. So there's a two-on-one. One of them is Crystal. One of them is Kendall. And Crystal has finally met her opponent, and that is Kendall. Crystal goes out with Ari, and she's talking about Kendall. She's like, oh, I don't know. Not sure she's ready for love. Don't think she's ready to get married.
Mm.
And then Kendall goes out and finds out that Crystal said that, and Kendall comes back.
Oh, no.
And confronts Crystal.
One thing that Ari did express to me is that you did say you felt like you didn't know why I was here and that I wasn't ready to find love or for marriage at all.
Yeah.
In what way do you feel like I'm not ready?
Well, I don't know.
I guess you don't know. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what made it so hurtful to me is because you don't know. And you acted as if you did know. But I know when it comes to situations where you feel like you're cornered, saying something like that does help you.
She's really laying it on
now. Yeah.
You just sit here and take it, Crystal.
In some sense, I dated someone like you before, where in the face of conflict, they have told me things that have, like, really hurt me. You know, I guess I learned that saying the thing that's most hurtful doesn't necessarily mean you win. It means that you hurt somebody.
Oh. I don't really have words.
For the first time, Crystal doesn't have words.
That's kind of deep,
by the way. She got eviscerated by a girl who's a taxidermy enthusiast.
Now, what's her name, the one who's laying down the law there?
Kendall.
Yeah, Kendall. Kendall, the girl like a stuffed goat in her house.
I like her. Really? I like her. I like the cut of her jib or jive or whatever you like. Whatever thing it is you like about her, I like her.
She's handled herself well. I also enjoy the cut of her jib.
Right. There it is. Say. Thank you.
But she does collect dead animals. Like, she doesn't reanimate them. She doesn't do it herself.
Don't care because she took down Crystal.
Yeah, she did, and Crystal got bounced and did not handle it well.
And Crystal got bounced and did not handle it well.
I'm so confused because I feel like I've just given love. Why? I just felt like...
This is Crystal, the one who's made fun of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
She feels like she's just given love.
Oh, dear.
That's all.
Abandoned. Honestly, I question, like, does I really want, like, a strong, confident woman?
Oh, I hate it when people do that. When you're a complete bitch,
yeah.
And you say, oh, men must not like confident women.
Yeah.
No, you're a bitch. You're a terrible human being.
Or is he about someone a little more timid that, like, needs him? I saw myself out there for Ari, and I thought about a lot of like, I was weak, and I'm never weak. It hurts to not feel good enough. I just want to feel, like, accepted and good enough.
You're not? Go home.
But she said she was confident.
Yes.
Hey, Pete, you know what I notice the trend is, and again, I don't watch the show, but every week it's the girls, and almost Ari doesn't exist on the show. Does he never say or do anything interesting or memorable on The Bachelor?
Well, he's not very exciting, guys.
No, you summarized it perfectly. He never says anything interesting.
Huh.
Yeah. Every single woman, he's like, oh, yeah, that was really fun. We had a good time.
He's master of the obvious. He has no soul. He sells real estate in Arizona. He's got a cactus for a brain.
He's a race car driver, P. Don't you talk
not
about him
that race
way.
Car. He I sure can't is. Drive stick, and I could probably beat that guy in a race.
Do you think, P, that a lot of these girls who go on The Bachelor year after year after year, they want the big Hollywood lifestyle? They get bit by the showbiz bug. They want to live in Southern California and be rich. And it's a little bit of a drag for them to think about going back to Kansas, or in this case, Arizona, or something like that, and living a normal life.
Well, it's kind of like the real world used to be, and it still is to a certain degree. I mean, they turn this into a career if they want.
Right.
You know, some people do go back to their lives, and they just remember it as a horrible time. But the rest of them go on the Bachelor Winter Games, which
sure.
starts, I think, on Tuesday.
A lot of promos for the Bachelor Winter Games.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, or Bachelor in Paradise. I mean, they're constantly shooting a show year round, and these people get, I mean, we're going to see Crystal again. We're going to see both Laurens. I mean, they become reality stars. Then they host clubs in Atlantic City for $1,500 on a Saturday night. That's not depressing.
All right, Pete, let me ask you two more questions. One is, now that Crystal is gone, is it sort of like Star Wars without Darth Vader? Are you interested at all?
Well, I told you guys what was going to happen. They're going to get rid of Crystal, and then it's going to be about Becca and how hot and young she is. And she is hot, and she is young. And then we're going to be at the hometowns, and we're going to be done before this is all over. And Crystal's going to be back,
and
we know it, for the women tell all. So don't worry. Yeah, Darth Vader's dead, but he's coming back in a prequel.
All right.
Fantastic.
One last question, and that is Jacqueline, who had a one-on-one date. Have you ever seen her on this show? Did you even know she existed?
The Southern girl?
Whoever Jacqueline is. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was like, I've never seen her before.
She was all right. I mean, look, there's only two things going on. The super hot young chick and Crystal.
And Crystal's gone.
And Crystal just left the building.
Right.
And Ari did make a good move, though. And I do want to mention this. He said goodbye to Crystal with the other girl there and just bounced. Like, he didn't pull her aside to talk to her or anything.
Like, he
knew
does.
That he had to get out. That was very, very savvy.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet as well.
Our boy's growing up, I guess. The Bachelor airs Monday nights at 8 on ABC. Recap Tuesday morning at this time on the Kevin DeBean Show with our old friend Petros Papadakis. Look for him this afternoon on AM 570 LA Sports. Thanks, Pete. We love you, man.
Orale. Love you.
The Bachelor Award is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin DeBean Show at 7:52.
He is Ash in Ash versus Evil Dead, our friend Bruce Campbell, back on K-Rock just after 8 a.m. Right now, Allie's here. What's happening?
You guys, it's happening this Friday. K-Rock's Guy's Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. You're going to hear DJ Omar Khan spin in some tunes.
Yep.
And you can sit with either Kevin, Dave, or Beer Mug and play.
It sounds to me that process doesn't seem like a process just anybody can pick up and start doing.
Well, I don't know how it goes, but you probably should have some idea of how to play poker before you sit down, at least at the table with Kevin, because he knows.
Never, ever, in a million years, if your life depended on it, would ever participate in that.
Okay, well, here's what I'm saying, though. I want to give away tickets to sit at Beer Mug's table. You're going to play.
That is the coolest thing I think I've ever heard of in my life. I never thought of that in my life.
Okay.
You're going to play against Beer Mug, and you're going to get a rack of chips worth $200.
That's beautiful. That is a beautiful thing right there.
Exactly. Plus, I understand the more he drinks, the more he just kind of gives you chips.
He drinks a lot.
Uh-huh.
And you add that to the fact that he doesn't know how to play poker.
Excellent.
And he pretty much just gives away money.
You want to be
at
his table.
I feel like I'm Batman.
That's not what we're saying.
Winner must be 21 years old or older, but call now and we will take caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067. And you are going to go to K-Rock's Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino if you want
more. That's a rough job.
It is not. It's just you basically drinking and playing poker. You can also RSVP your spot to play poker with the guys right now at thebike.com.
Mind blowing.
It's a good night.
We do it every few months.
It's a good time.
Shouldn't blow your mind that much.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Has Beer Mug ever won?
No.
Not so much.
And I've given him money before I win.
Right.
And I'll give him like $200 worth, and he'll stand up after two hands, and I go, what happened? I just gave you money. I don't know, man.
So you that's the life right there.
That's the life, yep. Right?
That's the life.
Mm-hmm. That's the one, right?
That is true. So we were talking about the Super Bowl and the ratings being down 7% from last year's ratings. The lowest in 9 years, by the way, but still 103.4 million people tuned in Sunday night, except for some people that were pretty busy robbing Rob Gronkowski. Police were called to Gronkowski's Foxborough, Massachusetts residence around 6:18, and he was robbed while he was out there playing in the Super Bowl. That's not good.
This is a terrible trend of that actor is at a movie premiere,
yes,
or that guy's on an overseas tour, so we know their house is empty. It's getting to the point where you have to hire someone to watch your house when you're going to be out of town.
Yeah, it's nuts. According to TMZ, there's some reports that the burglar stole some safes from the home, and guns may have been taken, but cops will not confirm at this point. But jeez, I mean, that you sucks. Come home from losing the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Not real
then
sure.
Then find out you were robbed.
Yeah. What life is that is where it's going to take you?
Yeah.
Could he be retiring? Could he be going to the WWE? We don't know, you guys.
You Time think this out. Was Bob Saget also?
Well, most likely.
Yeah.
I think
he stole
Stamos'
jewelry, right?
Yeah. He stole Stamos' bride's jewelry the night before their wedding after he learned the army crawl to avoid the security cameras from one of his good friends, Kevin Ryder. I mean, it's all connected. So did you know about this?
I did not know anything about this, Allie.
So Bob Saget didn't say, listen, I'm going to knock over Gronk.
He didn't say anything about that to me.
We're letting the cops know that we know it's Bob Saget behind all of this.
Wouldn't it be awesome if we were just making jokes and it was Bob Saget? It really was.
That'd be pretty incredible. Bad news, Bean.
Oh, no. What?
Willie Nelson has added more cancellations to his tour. His rep said no February tour dates. They're all canceled because he is recovering from a bout with the flu.
You look at that and it's really very, very sad.
It is.
It's not good. Yeah.
Look, the flu is literally killing people this year more than ever. And he is what? 80-something?
Yeah, older people are.
Yeah, it's not good.
Very vulnerable. Yeah. They don't like it at all.
Yeah, but his rep said that he's up and about and looks as healthy as ever. But the doctors have determined that his voice needs some extra time to recuperate. But I know your Willie Nelson feelings. And
look, he is number one on my list of celebrities I am pre-sad about dying.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a hard day when we wake up to that news. And I hope it's a long time from now.
Me too, Bean. But hey, that much rumored Spice Girls reunion has been confirmed.
Mel's, how many times has this started and stopped?
Well, and here's the thing. Mel C told BBC's Radio 2 they're planning to work on new projects after they met for the first time since 2012. Like, people were snapping pictures of them all walking into a home. Mm-hmm. But a source told the London Sun the reunion would not include singing from Victoria Beckham.
Okay.
So, that's,
I mean, they still have a business together, and they
right.
still have
they could do endorsements. They could do all of that. Yeah, new projects, a TV talent show.
Oh, I see.
So it's not going to be a record or a tour per se.
Why won't Posh sing, by the way? What's that about?
I feel like maybe she's just like, I got enough money.
Yeah, she doesn't need it.
I don't need to hang out with you ladies
anymore.
But girl
power.
Well, yeah, I would love to see them all get back together.
Could have seen Allie dancing good. During that song.
Oh, real good, you guys.
I remember when they came out in the opening of the British Olympics.
Yes.
And how exciting that was to see them all together.
It really
was. The world wants the Spice Girls, is what I'm saying.
Totally. Did you have a favorite, Bean?
Look, I like them all. I thought Mel C is the best singer, but I thought Baby was the cutest.
I knew you'd go Baby.
Right?
I knew
you
it.
You knew Bean
really?
Would go straight Baby.
Yes. Great baby.
This is one thing we know about Bean.
Pretty and Adam.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
Don't you mess with a Spice Girl because you're going to mess with me.
Said it for years. Said it for years. Some birthdays for you. Actor Dane DeHaan, singer Rick Astley, and singer Axl Rose. And that's what's happening.
Bruce Campbell just got here and he's already talking about spitting. What's happening?
Do you take these microphone covers and put them in some sort of microwave device at the end of the day?
Because
you know, with the shock jocks and the yelling and the guffawing at 6 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. you're going to have some spittle, are you not?
Those are probably 2 years old and have never been cleaned.
2 years old? They're the original K-Rock microphones.
Like, they've been here since 1976,
but
Bruce?
Did like Iggy Pop come in here and get this all slimy and then leave?
Very possible. Most likely, yes.
What layers of DNA are on this thing?
I mean, I don't think you want to know that.
You could repopulate the earth with what's on that microphone. Bruce, you said something. You said something about a dog has been in the studio. What was that about? Are you allergic or something?
No, there was dog hair all over this. This is why I brought up the microphone cover issue in the first place. There was dog hair all over it.
Can I just say this? That animals are not allowed here, so there's not dog hair there.
Yeah, there's definitely not.
But here was my theory. Someone wore fleece.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That attracted the dog hair. Because in Oregon, where I'm from, everyone's got the fleece going.
Sure.
And in line at the post office, mm-hmm. you know who has a dog based on how much fur they have on their fleece. Yeah. Someone with fleece, Iggy Pop, came in here.
Okay.
The fur on the fleece flew.
Okay.
To the microphone cover.
I see. Okay.
That could have happened.
I feel like we had disappointed
you. Did you have a guest from Oregon recently?
Guest from Oregon.
It's possible. It is possible.
Or but I feel would like say Oregon from those people who are not from Oregon.
Hey, Bruce, have you been back to Oregon since they made you start being able to pump your own gas? Now that you're allowed to in Oregon, have you been back there and done it and taken advantage of that?
Sir, that's only in rural areas of Oregon.
Is that right?
Because in rural areas, they go, man, I can just pump my own gas.
I've never been in a state where
you
can't.
Get out of my face. Get rid of this government and stop making. I can pump my own gas. But I think it's the reverse.
It's the reverse.
Oh, yeah. A guy from Portland can get his gas pumped. Who's pumping my gas? Now, I got to pump my own gas, too. They don't know nothing for us out here in Harney County.
By the way,
this is where the wildlife refuge was taken over.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So when they're not taking over wildlife refuges, they have to pump their own gas.
No,
I got to take something over. I'm so mad that I got to pump this myself.
Bruce has a lot of Oregon feelings, doesn't he?
Yes.
That sounds like your next project
Oregon's
right there.
It's a really awesome, weird state like every other state.
Yeah.
They
it seems
like
a little weirder than most, though, and I think in a good way.
But you can't peg it because you go, you know, if you say you're from Arizona.
Right.
Or Texas. They go, oh, well, okay, you're crazy.
I'm from Arizona.
I'm from Arizona.
And you're right.
Yeah, you're crazy.
Right.
You're partly crazy.
Right.
California, they go, oh, that's a land of fruits and nuts. You know, all the California jokes, every California joke.
Sure.
I live in Oregon. There's a long pause followed by, Man, that seems like a pretty place. A really pretty place. And then you follow up with, no, it rains every day. You'd hate it.
Because you don't want anyone away.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We have the mighty Siskiyou Mountains that run east and west, right at the top of California. And it keeps all the riffraff out.
Nice. There you go. By riffraff, 7,000... you mean Californians.
Well, Californicators, where we go. But if you have a crappy car, you ain't getting over that mountain.
I see. All right.
So it keeps the crappy cars in California.
I got you. You don't still live in Oregon, though.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
Yeah. What? Oh, you, like you would know?
Right. I'm telling you. I believe that you still have, you probably still own property in Oregon, but I bet you spend more time in California than any other state.
Incorrect, sir. New Zealand is the next closest because of this TV show. Ash versus Evil Dead. Mm. Shot in Auckland, New Zealand.
Wow. That doesn't stink.
Right.
Is it cheap to make because you hire all hobbits and stuff down there? Why do they film it so far away?
Don't demean the Kiwis, please.
I'm sorry.
I didn't mean anything personal.
You know what? It's a combo platter.
Combo platter.
Great cruise. Mm-hmm. This is my fourth TV show. Herc, Xena, Jack of All Trades. This is where Lord of the Rings was shot. Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
James Cameron's going to shoot 48 more avatars there.
Yeah, he sure is.
The crews are great. The government does give you a little hoo-hoo for working there.
Nice.
They give you a little kickback.
Oh, kickback. Okay, good.
I wasn't sure what that was.
The hoo-hoo is a kickback.
For a second, okay. I was going
And you're
going
down there long enough that you feel like you live in New Zealand, right?
The weirdest part was walking around Auckland, and I said to myself, this isn't weird anymore.
Well, that's strange.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of live there, but weird. It's a great place to work. The area is freshy, fresh, fresh. The billionaires are moving in.
Ah, yes.
All the paranoid billionaires because civilization's falling. Must move to a stable environment. So it has a stable government. It's a democracy. No nukes.
Right.
Okay. There are greeny weenies down there. Mm-hmm. And Lucy Lawless is leading the charge. Get your nuclear away from our island. I'll take my shocker and cut your head off.
You are selling me on New Zealand, right?
New Zealand is a really cool, great place.
Would you ever move there?
No.
Okay. Oregon too good?
It rains in New Zealand. You wanna commit Harry Carey after a while.
Okay.
And even Oregon doesn't rain as much as Auckland, New Zealand.
All right. Wow. That's saying something.
Or, you want to be a playa. Have a little house here, a little house there. Like the billionaires moving out the millionaires. Oh, they have a deep water port for those of you with a yacht.
Is that right?
Deep water and a massive international airport.
No kidding.
You can get
hear your pronunciation of yacht again, please, Bruce Campbell?
yacht.
Very thirsty.
I'm wearing my Thurston Howell jacket.
You
today,
sort of are, yeah.
As you can clearly see.
Bruce, you mentioned Ash versus Evil Dead, which we will talk about in depth because season three premieres later this month.
We won't.
Start. No, we'll get to it, I promise. Oh, but yeah. Season three premieres February 25th on Stars. You still get as excited about acting as you did at the beginning all those many decades ago?
Yeah, because we're still trying to fix Ash.
Still trying to fix it.
Your investment in that character makes you still excited to get up.
I'm doing the George Lucas. I'm going back and I'm fixing him. Remember George went back and went, oh, I didn't like that effect.
Right.
I'm going to fix that with my team of digital minions. Right. Fix that. Jenkins, fix it. So he fixed all that. And now
that you George Lucas? I just want to clarify.
Not many people know what he really sounds like.
Okay, that's true.
No, that's true. You've never seen him talk.
That's right.
So
I'm just saying.
When you say you want to fix him, meaning that you like to weigh in with creative choices on where
the
character goes
next. I was 21 years
old
when I played Ash for the first time. My first acting job. I'm the best known for the least experience that I ever had. Mm-hmm. So thanks for that, world. So now I want to go back 100,000 years later.
Right.
And take 20, because the last time I played him was 25 plus years ago. I actually have some experience now. I want to go back and go, okay.
This is what I should have done.
This is what I should have said. This is what I should be saying. This is how I should be saying it. And so it's been a fun education to work with the writers to try and round out the character. So this season, Ash has a daughter that he didn't know he had. Mm. And he's initially proud he wasn't shooting blanks. That's the first thing that comes to his mind. Still got it, he was thinking.
I don't want to spoil anything, and you're probably going to yell at me.
You can't really spoil this show. It's sort of self-spoiled.
I'm going to say at one point that Ash, being surprised to find out that he has a daughter out in the wild that he didn't know about,
is surprised because he had his lucky condom that worked for him 50 times in a row.
Oh.
I mean,
that was the visual of that, Bruce. Mm.
I wore that all through the odds. 50-0.
The visual of just rinsing that out
no,
and coming back the next night.
No, sir.
You know what? Just stuck with me. Less of that.
Less stuff in landfills, the better.
So you're doing your part for the environment.
Oh, well,
yeah.
And sure. And your pocketbook. It's
Bruce,
safe
is there any chance, and I mean this sensitively, but we're all friends here, is there any chance that Bruce Campbell has a daughter he doesn't know about somewhere in the wild? You've been popular and handsome for a long time, my friend.
Well, here's the thing.
Okay.
It would have come out right now.
Yes, true.
In this,
in this current age.
Current environment of revelation... of poor behavior.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think I would have been busted already.
Okay.
So I'm kind of holding the old breath.
Okay. Going, so far, so good.
No! Going Minnesota book signing. I don't think anything happened. There were some vodka tonics happening.
Are you sizing up every person in the line?
Uh-oh. Oh, man.
She looks hot. That's my type.
No, if the look lingers, I got to look away.
Okay.
Because in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a woman came up to the table and she gave me a look of like, I'm her.
Right.
I'm like, what? Did we meet before, like at a wizard convention in Sacramento?
I like that. That's your guess.
That's his go-to.
No, yeah. Well, that's the safest bet. Let me tell you. Was Shatner there that weekend? I got to remember which one. I go to so many of these, you know. So I can't touch anybody anymore. I'm not going to make eye contact with any fans anymore.
Well, the next thing you know, you're living in New Zealand to get away from it.
And
right?
If a woman walks into the green room and it's just me and Stan Lee,
right?
I'm leaving, so it's going to be Stan's going to be
there. You go
in the hot seat.
I see. Okay.
Well, you can't be too safe, Bruce.
That's true. You know, a little controversy goes a long way.
Yeah.
But where's the point of no return?
Well,
so far so good for you.
I think the Wizarding Convention in Sacramento was the point of no return.
Yeah, I think I need to go back to that.
Bruce Campbell is here. What happens when season 3 of Ash vs. Evil Dead returns to the Stars Network on February 25th? We'll find out more with our guests right after this on K-Rock. We're spending some time this morning with the delightful producer, actor, author Bruce Campbell in studio with us here on K-Rock. Ash vs. Evil Dead returns season 3 Sunday, February 25th at 9 on the Stars Network. Bruce, you just dropped some knowledge on us during that song about why Stars is the perfect platform for this show.
They are, and fans need to reward Stars for that.
Okay.
They have been misbehaving towards Stars. They have been lazy and lethargic.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
And somewhat cheap in the pocketbook.
Uh-huh.
Because they go, I already have Netflix. I'm not going to get another platform.
Right.
But what they don't realize is if you wait for it to get to Netflix – you might be waiting for the rest of your life. Mm. The other thing is, Ash vs. Evil Dead, the real hardcore fans don't want an R rating. Because
correct.
Two out of the three movies had no rating. If this was on cable, it would be butchered. Ash would raise the chainsaw and they would cut to a commercial.
That's true.
You know,
no, that's very true.
They'd come back and a guy would be mopping up the floor going, wow, that was horrible.
You should have seen it.
Yeah. And in this we can go, now, we're going to be watching it. Tooth by tooth as it hacks in there.
Bruce, there is so much blood.
There's a lot
on
of
this
blood.
Show. There's so
there
much
is.
Blood.
And, but, you know, the real challenge is not so much can you top this, because when you have all that freedom, what do the actors want to do? They all want to start swearing.
Sure.
That's the first thing. Actors love to swear on camera because they just look cool when they're doing it. Come on, let's get the F out of here, man. Let's roll. Yeah, mother effer. So we actually had to have a meeting of the actors and go, who swears and who doesn't? Whose character
would
swear?
I see.
My character, Ash, swears like your dad.
Of course.
You know, he's a lot of GDs. He's a GD guy.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, not my dad.
Or he.
My dad's a longshoreman.
Oh, well.
Yeah,
he's got some words. He's got the whole pack.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the Ray Santiago, who plays Pablo, he mostly swears when he's afraid or startled or scared. He's a reactionary.
So you literally had to sit down and have this conversation by character.
Who's right, because we started to have scenes like, hey, get the F, I'm on our way. Why the F, you're looking at me that way? Hey, man, this is BS. You know, it's like, stop, this stops. What's the plot that we're doing here? It's not all swearing. Same with the gore. Second season, Ash had a sequence where he was going to fight a possessed colon.
Mm-hmm. Like you do.
And that's weird enough.
Yes.
They had a little boxing, and then Ash incapacitated it. But our slightly twisted producer, Rob Tappert, insisted, no, he's got to go. It's got to go all the way. I'm like, what do you mean by that? He goes, it's going to take you back home. Home, like where our colon lives. Yep, I think you get the idea. So we went back in to reshoot it because it was not ridiculous enough.
Wow.
Ash's head had to be pulled up a cadaver's butt.
I mean.
And by the way,
show, that doesn't tell you everything that you need to know.
And by the way, this cadaver has an evident uncircumcised penis with what's known as, I believe, a Prince Albert piercing.
Good morning, everybody.
All right.
Thank you
for coming.
All right.
Let's go to traffic.
I am astounded, Bruce.
But it's not like you want to do that all the time. That was a random
just
thing.
Just that one thing.
Integral to the plot.
Sure.
And
but
you can't do that. You can't do that every episode.
Right. But the new ways that you come up with to kill people, like, again, not to give anything away about the season premiere for season three, but the death by piano strings in that opening episode is I've never seen anything like it in the history of cinema.
You never thought that a harp could be so deadly.
Oh, it's harp. Yeah, yeah. It's death unbelievable by harp. Death by harp. So it is
we have a
amazing.
Very imaginative crew. And these guys, don't forget, these all worked on the Peter Jackson movies. They can do anything down there.
Yeah.
And they're also proper. Here's what I love about the meetings there. Right. All right. Now, we have four strings of the harp that will go across the face, slicing it. Would you like diagonal or horizontal, vertical? What would be your choice? They're so clinical when they have these meetings. They're so professional. Well, I just needed to mash through the guy's face. All right. Well, we'll do some drawings and come up with a proposal and send it to you. You go, okay. Same with the blood. Right, Bruce, we're going to hit you with a number. We're thinking a number six nozzle today. Number six nozzle. Now we have an outline of a human on the side of the stage now, because now I don't trust these guys.
Right.
I'm like, come on, take your nozzle.
Make him try the nozzle.
Hit the thing on the silhouette, and it'll go, and I go, no way in hell. show me a number four.
All right. Well, Bruce, we're afraid the number four might be a little too tight of a sprite. Might be inconvenient to the one who's pulling the trigger. Might be too tight. In case you're moving, you might move out of the target zone. I'm like, fine, put your number six on. Let's go.
Let's get this over.
There must be so many moments in the course of your day acting on that show where you look around and go, how is this my life?
No, my wife calls it the poopy diaper syndrome.
Okay.
I was sitting around one day in my trailer going, oh, boy, well, if someone looks at me wrong today, oh, boy, I'll show them something. She goes, shut up. You have a poopy diaper syndrome. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? She goes, you sit around in a poopy diaper all day.
I mean, that's pretty true.
You have blood and carnage and mayhem on you, and you're sticky and irritable, and you go into a dark set that's muddy and dripping blood, and it's in the middle of winter in New Zealand, and outside the warehouse is going, wow, wow. And, you know, that's your day. So she goes, don't be surprised, honey. It's just poopy diaper syndrome. You have to kind of work through that.
So she just tells you, shut up.
Shut up. Know what it is. Know why you're agitated.
Ash versus Evil Dead Season 3 premieres Sunday, February 25th at 9 o'clock on Stars, and it is wonderful. Bruce, before you go, we've got 60 seconds for you.
Oh, right. Boy.
I'm just going to fire questions.
Oh, man.
Let's go. Answer whatever you think. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Did you like being Buff in Army of Darkness?
Who in Army of Darkness?
Buff.
Buff?
Yeah, Buff.
I was semi-Buff, but yeah, sure.
Did you miss anything about living in L.A.?
Zero, thanks.
What's your biggest celebrity friend that you could text right now?
That I could text right now? Nathan Fillion.
Oh, nice. Elvis Presley or Elvis Costello?
Come on, man. That's a stupid question.
What's the thing most people would be surprised to learn about you?
I have lavender on my property.
What?
I have an lavender. Acre of lavender on my property that I distill on Steven Seagal's
ranch. Not a euphemism, Kevin.
Okay. What's your favorite sports team?
The Cleveland Cavaliers, who are currently imploding.
What singer or band makes you shake that ass?
I'm sort of like a carpenter's guy, so there's no ass shaking.
See? Did you ever wish you really had a chainsaw arm?
I have a chainsaw on my property, and I do not know how to operate it.
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
Completely disgusting. Get your freaking dog out of here.
Oh.
Yeah! All right.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. The great Bruce
Thank
Campbell.
You very much.
Thank you, sir.
Fun here.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Our friend Mike Catherwood has been married for what, 5 or 6 years? Something like that, to Bianca?
I think so, yeah.
And we just found out yesterday after the show that she has laid down the law on something he is no longer allowed to watch on television.
She does not seem like the lay down the law type either.
Yeah, but if you live
back.
If you live with Mike.
If you live with Mike, I think you change your mind on a lot of things.
Yeah, that's true.
But I want to find out what that's all about coming up right after the top of the hour. We'll give her a call. First, though, Allie's in. It's time for What's Happening.
You know of a man named J. Darius Bickoff?
J. Darius Bickoff. Does not sound familiar.
No.
He's the gentleman who created Vitamin Water and Smart Water.
Oh, okay.
So he's a...
wealthy?
He's got some money.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that it was his daughter's bat mitzvah on Saturday. Little Ella.
Yeah.
275 13-year-old kids at this bash. Shawn Mendes played.
Of course.
Grandmaster Flash DJ'd.
Of course.
And they had 40 to 50 horse-drawn carriages waiting to escort the guests from the temple to the party that was at the Plaza Hotel.
Hmm.
What do you think of that price tag, Rania?
$1 million. For the whole thing?
For the whole thing.
$1 million.
All right. Bean?
Don't care.
It was
with
very
such disgust.
Dismissive. I'm sorry. I realized.
All right.
How do you feel about the Jews?
Well, they're fine. I'm going to say $4 million.
Okay. First of all, the Plaza Hotel right there. A ton of money.
Okay. Okay.
Horse-drawn carriages. You kidding me? 40 to 50 of them?
Okay.
Shawn Mendes is going to get, I'd say, throw in a million.
Okay. Really? $1 million for Shawn Mendes?
For
I would have
sure.
thought he was like a $300,000.
No. Okay. For sure. Then you're going to have all the food, the drinks.
10 million.
5 to 7 million. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. But apparently this is not... new to him in any way. In 2013, he surprised his wife with their 10th wedding anniversary, $1.3 million to have Justin Timberlake perform. And that was in 2013.
Yeah.
$1.3 million.
Kevin,
all
if
I'm
you
saying,
had if you had all the money in the world, if you were one of these big Powerball winners or something like that, would you would you be the kind of guy who would hire your favorite musical artist
Absolutely.
To come play? Like, would you have Run the Jewels play in your Sunday afternoon barbecue?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes,
You'd be like, it's Tuesday, time for the foos. Like, that would be Kevin's.
Day.
It's foos day. That would be Kevin's life.
That would be my life, yeah.
Oh, I would want to be on every guest list, Kevin. I really hope you win.
Kevin would be putting out his own, like, Coachella lineup
for
every
sure.
weekend.
I mean, come on.
Well, according to some people on Twitter, you are the
right?
one that creates the Coachella lineup.
She crazy.
So fun. Go and check that out if you have time. Hey, if you're a Netflix
subscriber.
Thank you. Subscriber. Watch out for a phishing scam. They're going to ask you, hey, give up some personal info because your account is about to be deleted.
I get that email about once a week.
Absolutely.
And for a lot of different companies.
Yes.
And you always just don't click on the link, but go to that company's website.
Right.
For the most part, you'll see that there's nothing wrong.
Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't. And they click right on thinking they're going to suspend their membership if they don't receive a response. They put in their name, their password, a credit card number, and then they are screwed. So just don't. Don't do that.
So don't do that.
Thank you. That is my advice. You're welcome. We talked about that Spice Girls reunion. What about a Friends reunion?
No.
I'm so...
No.
I can't
no.
tell you how no.
I mean...
I just... There's not enough no. Why is everyone so obsessed with Friends? I don't get it. Come on. Every single cover of People Magazine and Us Weekly, stop it!
All right, I'm out. I'm done.
I wasn't prepared
I mean, come on now.
I mean, that's a lot right there.
I don't like Friends either, but watching Kevin lose his ass was amazing.
Obviously.
I'm starting to love Friends.
I mean,
just
come
to
on.
See this more.
How obsessed can people be with Friends?
And if you go back and watch it, does not hold up at all.
But fine. It was fine. Take it easy.
Okay. All right.
Back to you.
Well, every now and then, people start demanding a Friends reunion.
Yeah, and every now and now. They keep doing it every day. It's ridiculous.
Well, Jennifer Aniston didn't help matters because she was just on Ellen DeGeneres and said, anything's a possibility because George Clooney got married. So that was super far-fetched. So obviously, a Friends reunion could be a possibility, but now seeing how much it will ruin Kevin's world, I say we fight for a Friends reunion.
Do you guys understand how often Friends is referenced these days? It's a crazy
maybe I haven't
phenomenon.
Noticed it.
It's crazy.
Really?
Yes.
You were saying on covers of magazines.
Okay. Everything. It's all about Friends or people from Friends. Every magazine has someone from them. It's absurd. Stop it.
Wow.
Stop it with Friends.
This is cartoon hate that I didn't see coming.
Okay.
All right.
I think he's in.
I think he wants a Friends reunion.
I'd like that.
All right, we're out of time. Some birthdays for you. Singer Rick Astley, singer Axl Rose, and actor Dane DeHaan. And that's what's happening.
Big band, Little Space, talking about concerts in the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock. And the next one is going to be Walk the Moon. They're going to be there on Friday. And if you want to go, we've got a pair of passes for you coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. So stick around.
Psycho Mike has problems.
Sure.
Am I right?
Yeah, that's definitely true.
And apparently the bitch is one.
Oh.
Oh, Bean.
What's wrong with you?
I mean,
you?
That is inappropriate. And mean.
And so accurate. Mike was telling us yesterday off the air in the meeting. And by the way, it's shocking to a lot of people that we actually have meetings.
It's true.
To talk about the next day.
I mean,
show.
Meetings in quotes.
And I should preface this by saying Mike is desperately in love with his wife and really has no complaints with her.
And married way up.
And considers every day how lucky he is to have Bianca as his wife.
All
However,
is true. Yes.
All that is true. Yes. However, Mike, there is a little bit of tension about what you're allowed to watch on TV, which I was very surprised to hear that Bianca's laying down the law.
Yeah, my wife's like a real hippie, and she's all about positive vibes mm-hmm. and positive feelings. Mm-hmm. And it normally doesn't pose any problems for me.
Right.
But she
will pose problems for her.
All the time. All the time. Every day. But she will not allow me to watch some of my favorite TV shows because they're the like murder porn documentary style shows. The Dateline. The 48 Hours, Forensic Files.
Forensic Files, yeah.
That's what Allie watches full time.
I've essentially been forbidden from watching them in our home.
Because there's just too much negative energy because they're all about unsolved murders, right?
Right. And it's not as if I'm watching them in front of our child or anything like that. It's uh-huh. she thinks that it provides...
Let's let her speak for her.
All right.
Hey, Bianca.
Hi, guys.
What's up?
Nothing except I'm getting called a bitch on the radio.
Well, that was Kevin, though. You know
that
how he is.
Bean.
That was Bean. How dare you?
He can't stop himself.
That was Dave.
We were just surprised that you would have any kind of content problem with what your grown-ass husband watches on TV.
I don't know. With Mike, you have to draw a line somewhere.
Absolutely. And seriously, the guy is a very loving person, but he's not always the happiest person in the world.
Right.
So we need to make sure that he's staying on top of the good feelings.
Now that's interesting. Mikey, do you go into some sort of downward spiral of depression when you see one of these sad stories on the news or on TV?
I go into downward spirals of depression, period. So probably anything that adds to that is not a good idea.
Okay.
And I don't... I'm not necessarily confused where she's coming from. I just feel a little bit emasculated that I have like a V-chip for a wife. You know, that
I feel like you're lucky to have a V-chip
for a wife. I mean, I think I'll let my wife speak for herself, but I think her intentions are pure. it just, you know, it because I like those shows. I really do. I was in Vegas a couple weeks ago. I was in the hotel. I watched like a marathon because I was capable of it. It was like the 6-year-old boy who got a hold of porn.
Who stays in their room in Vegas?
This guy.
To watch Dateline?
Forensic Files and no. Dateline.
But there's gambling and drinking.
No, I'd rather watch Forensic Files because I can't do it.
So, Mike, when Bianca has to leave to go to work or run errands or whatever, as soon as her car is out of the driveway, you run over to that TV and start banking on this 48 hours.
This is, dude, when I watch, like, if she's gone, and I'll watch, like, Discovery ID or something, I have to remind myself to change the channel before I turn the TV on. Because then she wakes up in the morning and turns on the TV, it can't be on Discovery ID or else she'll know.
That's right.
It's like in the old days, I'd have to hide the fact that I was watching the Playboy channel from my parents. It's the exact same thing.
Well, I get it. If you tend to get sad or depressed about things, maybe those shows aren't the most uplifting of all.
They're definitely not.
Well, I just find that the well-rounded, emotionally adjusted people that I know tend to not watch those shows.
Right
already.
Here, Bianca. I can hear you. I can hear you.
So Bianca Alley watches all of those shows.
I do. But here's the thing, Bianca. I get great tips on how to avoid being murdered. I am not going on a cruise with you, young man. I am not going hiking. And wow, this blue drink tastes weird. I'm not going to keep drinking it. Yeah. I learn, Bianca.
But do you feel like it also makes you a little paranoid?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, definitely.
100%.
There's no question about that.
Wait a minute. Was this an intervention for me?
Yes. Bianca was worried about your mental health.
We didn't plan on it.
She's an excellent actress. Is Bianca worried? God, I hate to even put this out there, Mike, but is Bianca worried that you're trying to learn how to get away with murder? Is that maybe what's happening?
Well, why would you even ask that?
I'm just saying. He's taking a lot of notes.
I don't know. If that's the case, but she is much more valuable to me than if the opposite was to happen. Like, if she murdered me, probably wouldn't benefit her that much financially.
Right.
I could probably cash in a little bit. Just saying, you know.
I hope you're recording this, Bianca. This is weird.
This is taking a turn.
I think everyone is.
Yes, exactly. All right. So, Mike, she's laying down the law, you know, happy wife, happy life. So you're just going along with it because you got it, right?
Absolutely. I feel like there's definitely some time for me to dig in my heels and stand my ground.
Right.
This is not it.
No.
Okay.
You know?
And it is coming from a place
Mike
of love.
Gets a lot of leeway with probably about 99% other stuff.
Yeah. Oh, we are Team Bianca. You are a saint, Bianca, that you have been able to stay married to this
There's
man.
There's no question about that.
No question about that. You're a saint. You get whatever you want, sweetheart.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks for talking to us. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
I don't necessarily agree with that.
With
what? I don't think I get a lot of leeway.
Get a lot of leeway.
Have you met you?
Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Allie, what's happening?
I'm glad you asked, Bean. So, you know when you go to a concert and up on the wall is a list of prohibited items?
Yes.
Things you can't bring into the facility. Well, someone snapped a picture of the prohibited items not allowed into Mount Smart Stadium in New Zealand during a Foo Fighters show.
And this is usually like, you know, backpacks or oversized bags, obviously, weapons. Some venues you can't take a full beverage in, for instance. Some places they restrict to cameras and phones and things like that. But you're talking about a list like that.
Yep. Indeed. All those things. I was just going to read. So... What other items, Bean?
Why don't you go ahead?
Like coolers, glass containers, alcohol, illicit drugs, professional audio recording devices, weapons, selfie sticks. But in between all of these things are other things that, unless you're really reading this, you'd never notice. Here are some of those. Unflattering photos of Ryan Seacrest. Pirated VHS tapes of Land of the Lost, the series. Cream magazines that do not mention Ted Nugent. Any mention of Friendster or Webster, starring Emmanuel Lewis. Free radicals, including antioxidants or Hong Kong Phooey, as voiced by Scatman Crothers. And my favorite, you cannot bring this into their concert.
Okay.
Derogatory press clippings of Shania Twain. Don't even think about bringing that into a Foo Fighters show. What is wrong with them? That is fantastic.
Where does that come from?
They're brains and them just trying to have a little bit of fun with every aspect of touring because they've been doing it so long. Why not just make a little something that you would look past all the time?
That's funny.
And make it insane. Oh, I love it so much.
I so was going to take those inflammatory press clippings about Shania Twain to their concert, too.
Were you? What about
around.
What about homemade nut milks?
Right?
I don't even know what those are, but now I'm interested. And don't even think about bringing any pencil that isn't a number two. I mean, it is just good stuff. So Ryan Murphy is basically in charge of all of television, right?
Yes, he is, yeah.
Okay, well, he has a new show coming out on Netflix. It is called The Politician, and it's going to star Dear Evan Hansen's Ben Platt as a young politician on the rise. This is when it gets into a show that Kevin will never watch. The other two that are set to co-star, Barbara Streisand and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, my Lord.
And there's going to be musical numbers every now and then along the way. Does that interest you? You're right. All right. And in case you missed...
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
I do love it.
I mean, technically, Ali asked me.
I did, for sure. And in case you missed it yesterday, actor John Mahoney, who's probably best known as Kelsey Grammer and David Hyde Pierce's dad on Frasier, he played Martin Crane. He passed away Sunday at his home in Chicago at the age of 77. And I didn't know this about him, but he was born in Manchester, England, and then moved to America and wanted to get rid of his accent. So he joined, I believe it was the Army. That's pretty phenomenal, right?
How do you have a program where they beat your accent out of you? How do you switching jobs make you lose your accent?
If you're hanging out with dudes over in some other country and everyone speaks American, it just kind of you kind of make way with that, right?
I mean, maybe.
I'd like
but there are lots
of that.
Lots of people who have lived here for 50 years that still sound like they just stepped off the boat. You
well,
know?
That's because they're making the conscious effort not to change their accent. He wanted to change it.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
And look what happened to him. He died.
Well,
all right. So maybe that's our
thing.
Those are tied together.
He had
cancer.
That's it. But if you haven't seen his work, go watch Say Anything immediately because it's one of, if not one of the best movies ever, one of the best scenes that will just make you cringe. Involving him and going and trying to use credit cards, and all of them are not accepted, and it just makes you so nervous. And it's an acting class right there. Also in Moonstruck, 8 Men Out, he was wonderful. And by all accounts, from everybody that has said something online about him, one of the kindest, nicest men that they had ever
worked
with.
Nice to hear.
It is nice to hear.
Nobody asked you, Kevin.
And SNL is going to be on hold while NBC does that whole Winter Olympics thing that they do. But they have announced the host of SNL on Saturday, March the 3rd.
Lady Gaga!
It is not, unfortunately. However, I think you'll be pleased. It will be his fourth time returning.
Be real!
Nope.
Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, no. Sorry, Bean.
By the way, why has Weird Al Yankovic never hosted SNL as far as I know?
So
doesn't it seem like he would be a fantastic host to that show?
Sure.
The guy's a triple threat. He can do it all.
Sure.
Sure could. He'd
yes.
be great.
He can do everything, Dean.
I'm mad it's not him.
Dr. Boogie.
He, too, would be fantastic.
Is he a please?
No. I'd watch that.
Dweezil
though.
Zappa.
Not Dweezil.
Charlie Manson.
Oh, no. He is no longer with us.
I think I was Davy Jones.
Again, no longer with us. Is that it? You guys out?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
I waited, and then you didn't play anything for like an hour.
No, do it again.
What happened? No, it's too late
no,
now.
Do it again. Do it again.
No, you screwed
Leonardo
up
DiCaprio.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Who's it going to be, Ellie?
It's Charles Barkley, you guys. It's Charles Barkley.
That's a great choice.
Yes.
He's very funny on SNL.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, that's Jason Bourne.
No, I just said it's Charles Barkley. Musical guest.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
No, it is Migos, but thank you. Mike.
That's a terrible idea.
No, it's a great, Charles, it's you. I feel like you should be happy about it. It's a great, great idea.
If you really suck at something, you probably shouldn't do it.
Well, I feel like it's your fourth time, so you're going to be pretty good at it, right?
That's terrible.
It's not terrible. Even Bean said you're one of his favorites.
Right. All right. We'll see how he does.
He's out. Some birthdays for you. Actor Dane DeHaan, singer Axl Rose, and singer Rick Astley. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. A man honestly looks exactly the same as he did from the 80s. It's insane. I don't understand it, but I want me some of that.
And that voice, same. Too, that comes out of that little face.
Is his face
little? He's got a little tiny little head. He's got that big old
voice.
Does he
have a little head?
I'm just saying.
That's what's impressive. Happening.
Oh, thank you, Ellie. The SoCal Helpful 100. Tomorrow's Wednesday. That means World Star Wednesdays. We have Julie Chen from Celebrity Big Brother. We have celebrity divorce lawyer Laura Wasser in studio. And why does John Cusack hate Ellie?
I know.
It's sort of weird. We'll discuss tomorrow morning.